power and start undermining his power. In 1948, we lost the local candidates, our candidates. Also, I became sheriff, and on that election, Cookie Stevenson and Lyndon Johnson running for senators. And of course, Yorby told me, we won't sustain Lyndon Johnson for senator against Cookie Stevenson. But came the election, July, and Cook Stevenson didn't have enough votes to claim victory, so he went on the runoff with Lyndon Johnson. And during the 1948 runoff election, which was in September.
August, right?
Or August, yeah. Was in August, right. We had that, by that time, 1948, we lose some of our power. So, like I told you, they beat us on the sheriff race and everything else, but not in this senator race. Let me see what happened then.
Did Johnson come to Alice after that runoff in August, when they were still counting the votes?
No, he came. Not in the primaries. He came on the runoff.
Right.
Yes.
Did he talk to George Parr then?
No, wait a minute. After I gave all the results to Alice News, which was there, Cliff the boss, and Clarence Martin, he was the Democratic chairman. Mm. I gave the All the papers containing the poll list, tally list, and all that kind of stuff, and the ballots, we gave them to Clarence Martin. And what he did with it, I don't know. We just delivered them at the jailhouse in Wilson County. But I told Cliff the boss, I remember that I told him the exact votes we had for Lyndon Johnson and what we had for Cook Stevenson. Cook Stevenson, he was winning in East Texas, like Dallas and Fort Worth and Waco, and he was ahead of Lyndon Johnson. Not many votes, but still was a hero. Next day after I delivered also the poll list and tally list and everything else to Clarence Martin, your report says, come to San Diego, I want to talk to you. All right, I got over San Diego, went to his office. Lyndon Johnson was there, Ed Loy was there, Bruce Ainsworth was there, and myself.
No one else, Luis?
No one else.
No one.
That's why. And I remember Lyndon Johnson told Yorby, in order to win this election, we got to have about 200 votes. Lyndon Johnson told Yorby Parr that. Now, Parr says to me, Louis, we got to have 200 votes. Can you add 200 votes on the poll list and the poll list and tally list? They said, not me, George. I already gave the numbers to Clarence Martin, Cliff the boss. Said, well, if you don't do it, we're gonna lose the election. And I told him in Spanish, George, me importa una chingada si este cabrón alemán pierda la elección. In English, it says, I don't give a damn if he wins the election or not. So you won't go along with us, no. Then Ed Lloyd, Luis, do that for me. I had a good, Ed Lloyd and I was pretty close friends. I can do that, Mr. Lloyd. The only thing I'm willing to do is to certify that those 200 votes, they were cast on the election, see, which it was not. We lost the election. There's no doubt about that. Cook Stevenson won. I come back to Alice that evening. Gibbons Parr went to my house and asked for my copy of the tally list, poll list, and all the papers concerning the election. Every judge of every precinct, they keep a copy of the results. And I gave everything to Gibbons Parr. I don't know what he did with it or not. The last I saw those documents, when I gave them to Gibbons Parr, that's the last I saw him. Well, Cook Stevenson, he was pretty good campaigner. He won that election. But the political machine against him, he was too strong. Let me see what.
Well, Louis, in the meeting in San Diego, you spoke in Spanish, you said, with Parr, but then Lyndon Johnson was informed what was going to happen about.
Yes. Yorby Parr told Lyndon Johnson, don't worry, you will have your 200 votes, because I have two men that will add the votes on the poll list and poll list and the tally list. The name of those two men, they will appear in the book I'm writing about that election. Not only on the election, I'm writing a book about the whole political career I had in Jim West County.
The book is, where's the book now, Luis? Is it being translated?
It's, Eloy has it.
Yeah. Just for him.
He just wanted to, you know,
Joe,
get the answer for Tate.
Can you turn it on?
What do you want me to say then?
Well, the book is, are you revising the book?
Yes.
And it's now being translated?
Yes.
And it will reveal names and other information about the Box 13 and the George Parr regime that hasn't come out yet. Is that correct?
That's
the book?
Yeah.
Be the correct. Full story of the political control that he had.
Right.
Did you watch the two men add the names to the...
I was present when they had the 200 votes.
Were they careful in the way they did it so that no one would notice it later, that they'd been added?
Well, they had those 200 votes in alphabetical order. And I told Jorvi Parr right away, he says, you're making a mistake here. When you add names to that poll list, don't do it alphabetical. Get on the letter C, or B, or D, mixed up. So they're going to be they vote on that election, but actually they didn't vote. They just added those votes in there. Of course, I want to certify that that was the exact number of the people that voted that day.
But Parr didn't care, Luis, about the
outcome? Yes. I told Jorvi Parr, they're making a mistake. Heck, it's all right. We in power, we don't care, all right. But when really that came to attention, really, was when the Cook Stevens demanded an investigation, because. That's when they noticed that those names added alphabetically on that poll list, which was wrong.
In the same handwriting.
In the same handwriting. And it's impossible to me to recollect all the names, but I know that, for instance, one particular person, Mrs. Acero, they put her and first on that list, and she didn't vote.
Where was she on election day?
She was an ally, but she was our enemy. She was in the other party. So Hector Cerda, he was against our party, and he didn't vote that election. But they put his name like he was being counted on the election, you see.
For Johnson.
Did they find out you'd done that?
Well, they didn't find out because the investigation, it didn't last long to get all the facts. But we knew that Cook Stevenson, it was the winner.
If that investigation had continued, Luis, it would have proven Stevenson was the winner, right?
That's right. But they didn't get to me until the third day, I believe it was the third day, because they called Mrs. Acero to the wind's stand, they called Hector Cerda, they called Clarence Martins, and my turn came on the third day of the investigation. You see, they put me on the witness stand there, and all the procedure, raise your right hand and swear that you're going to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. Where I was born, what was my occupation, where I was living, and my residence, and came to open the boxes. One of the lawyers of Stevenson asked me, "Do you recognize this box?" Like, "Yes." At the box 13, present 13. That's a. They opened the box. It was empty. They asked me, one of the lawyers, he asked me, "What you did with your poll list and the tally list?" Well, I gave it to Gibbons Park. I don't know what I did with it. Then Ed Lloyd told me, "You know, Luis, in order to get this straight, tell him that you lost the poll list and tally list." And that's what I told him. Says, "I had the poll list and the tally list and all the papers and my glove compartment of the car. And I went to beer joint. When I came outside, I didn't notice that. In fact, they installed the thing because I didn't have nothing. But I told him, says, somebody broke into the car and get those documents." Let me see.
That's what you said during the hearing?
During the hearing, right.
And you told them that the tally list and the poll list were legitimate, that everything was okay?
Yeah. Told him that. Let me see. One of the lawyers, I guess it was Dribble, or what's his name?
Debrell.
Okay. He told me, he knew I was lying, you see. Says, why you did that for? He said, "Well, I gave George B. and Ed Lloyd my word that I was going along with the party regardless of lose or win. That's what I did it for." It was about, you were going to say something?
Well, I was just going to say, you think politics are pretty corrupt?
They are.
Yeah.
Yes, they are corrupt.
Do you?
I was not going to make this thing public. But you see, I knew I did wrong. And now I have little time left living, so might as well get that off of my chest.
You feel better now that you've told your story?
I feel better now, yeah. About 2 o'clock or 2:30, something like that. Somebody gave a telegram to George Smith. He came from Dallas, or from George Davison, to stop the investigation. And they stopped the investigation because Ed Lloyd told me this. "Don't worry about this investigation. We already had it straightened up." Says George B. and Bruce Ainsworth and Lyndon Johnson. "I want to talk to President Truman," which he was in San Antonio in his presidential campaign. "And I think I think President Truman told Hugh Black, the Supreme Court, to stop the investigation. Otherwise, the investigation could go on until they find out the truth. Because I was going to tell the truth if it was necessary, because they subpoena all my clerks, and I know they were innocent. I was the one that certified. I was the one that lied on that election. The other two people, they had the names. Suppose they're still living, they're wondering. That night they elected a senator who became president later on. But he went there. It was crooked all the way down, all the way.
How do you feel about the fact that you may have changed the course of history by certifying those 200 votes?
Well, in fact, I did it because I was on the new party. Like I say, I gave my word to Ed Loy and Parr that I was going with the party all the way. But I know that Jorby Parr had this meaning of telling the people what to do and believe me that he had no power to do anything. It was bad, but at the same time it was good to some people, especially the poor people among the Mexican people. Because they helped him out long, long time.
But how did it make you feel personally when you realized what the impact of certifying those 200 votes and starting Lyndon Johnson on his national career?
Well, I felt sorry for Stevenson. Because the machinery was against him. But before, I remember in the past elections, when he was governor, we gave all the votes to Stevenson. Not this time. That came after Johnson and Cook Stevenson. He didn't want to appoint some friend of his, where I say is Abraham Cassandra Loredo. That's what the fallout between Stevenson and Jorby Parr. But in those days, those elections, it was easy to give whatever we want to give it to our candidates. And we had no trouble at all until 1948. That's when they start the campaign against us.
Those 200 votes, though, had a big impact, didn't they?
They sure had. They gave Johnson the victory. Sometimes I wonder if really Truman had something to say about this business. I guess he had, because they stopped the investigation.
Luis, we checked the records. We can't find a record of a phone call.
It was not a phone call.
What do you think, telegram? From Truman to Black.
Oh, I don't know.
See, that's what we're trying to find. We can't find it. If we could,
well,
it would
it's
nail that story down, but we can't.
It's, put it this way. I know for sure that we stole the election. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. What Truman and Hugh Black got it to do with this thing, I don't know.
Right.
But I know they stopped the investigation.
And as you said, why didn't they let the truth come out, whichever way it was?
Right.
That's a good question. Greg, how you doing?
Well, whenever we get direct up here,
you think Lyndon Johnson was a good senator and a good president?
Well, for some people it was good. For other people it was not good at all.
Did you ever find yourself saying once he got in his high-level positions, I wish I hadn't certified those 200 votes? Were you ever sorry about it?
No, not particular. I was not sorry about it. I knew for sure that why I did it, I already told why I did it, to get even with the sheriff, because he cussed me out, and I just got even. And after that, I didn't care much how the election for certain candidates come out. But I know for sure that all the candidates on our party, every election they come out winning. Because we don't have no opposition. We just give out whatever votes was necessary for our candidates to win.
But you really didn't care personally. It's whatever candidate Parr wanted.
No, really, personally, I didn't know. I didn't care about who was sheriff, who was county judge, or who was.
Just doing your job for George Parr.
Yes. Fall out, me and George. When my assistant judge, Rufino Lopez, had financial difficulties, we went to Parr to see if we can give Rufino Lopez $15,000. He was in some kind of trouble. I never did ask him why. Anyhow, he, with $15,000, he could have been his. He was a manager of the American National. American National. He was the manager.
What's that?
The bank.
That's insurance company, American National Insurance Company. He was the manager. In some way or other, he had trouble, finances, and he wanted a loan from Parr. And Parr denied the loan to Rufino. And I call Yorby Parr his attention, says, this man, he's been helping us with elections and everything else. Loan him the money. Says, in fact, Luis, I don't have $15,000 now. But you can get it from the bank. You got a bank in LA, you got a bank in San Diego. Says, well, if he got into trouble, let him get out of the best way he can. That was one thing. Another thing, I asked your B. Sam Smithwick used to be deputy sheriff of Jim Wells County. And he killed a reporter. His name was Bill Mason. On account of politics. The sheriff